We are officially going to roll into post-race media availabilities here after the Bank of America Roval 400. We've now been joined by Clint Boyer, driver of the number 14 Mobile One Advance Auto Parts Ford. And Clint, maybe just to kick us off, give us a few kind of just reactionary thoughts to today.
God almighty. You knew it was going to be something, you know, and I think it was a little bit of everything. You know, we had some long run action there, had some good racing, wild restarts. You know, when those cautions start coming out at the end, it's such a, you know, a wild racetrack, first and foremost, that turn one. I mean, that's just the whole track's sketchy. I mean, the whole time you're out there, you're fighting, you know, for lateral grip. You're fighting for forward drive. You're fighting for turn. It's like, gosh, just one problem, you know. But it's a very challenging racetrack, challenging set of tires that we have for it. Those tires were pretty hard. And, you know, and then track positions, everything. I mean, our day in particular is we knew we needed an opportunity. I knew this race was the opportunity. I just didn't know if we could capitalize on that opportunity. You knew some people were going to have trouble. You tried to make sure that you're not one of those people. We did a good job of bringing a fast race car, did a good job of qualifying well. That put us in a position to get those stage points and get ourselves at least in the dance floor, you know, that first stage. But then you get behind. Then you're behind a little bit. Then, you know, by the time I got back up through them, I had both fenders knocked in and hit a damn turtle once. And you know, that's going to slow you down a little bit. I mean, it's just all product of being back in traffic and things like that. Then we kind of got track position back. Then we lost it again. Then the 88 pitted. So he was really at that point who we were racing for our position. Key point, at that point, he was the only car that we were racing. When he pitted, we pitted, 12 pitted. And, you know, then it was kind of a race between us and the 88. I knew as long as I kept him at arm's reach, I thought I could be all right. But then we start catching those lappers. If he gets to him before I do and you know, things like that, it could be tricky. But nonetheless, I don't know what all happened. Then at the end, it's mass chaos. I don't know if that knocked Jimmy out or not, but that's – bet he's super bummed if it did.
It did.
It did.
In a three-way tie.
In a three-way tie?
Yes.
He lost a tie? That's hard to believe. But, I mean – you knew something was going to happen at this deal. Everybody knew – everybody dubbed this the wild card race. And I guess – you know, I'm lucky that I survived it, but I'm happy for our sport that it lived up to the expectation, up to the hype that you guys all sold. So, you know, let's go back to business. I knew that this first set of round was going to be tough. You know, when the 48 blew that tire and knocked us in the fence and crashed us at Vegas, I knew that put us in a hole that was going to be hard to overcome. Didn't have the Richmond that I thought we would, and then, you know, came here and going for it. There wasn't much sleep last couple of nights. The little one woke up at 5 a.m. and once you're up, you start thinking about this gremlin that's ahead of you today. There wasn't any more sleeping. I stood there and watched the sun come up, thinking about the chicane on the back straightaway. Thought about the chicane on the front straightaway. Thought about turn eight. How I was going to get off that. I hit the wall in turn eight. Just, you know, thought about restarts and things like that. So. Now it's time to think about a cold beer because my God, I want one.
All right. We're going to take questions for Clint. If you have one, please state your name and affiliation. All right. Let's see. Let's start up front here.
Jeremy Pike, Independent Tribune here in Concord. You mentioned the backstretch chicane that was on a lot of people's minds with that modification with the tire barrier. How did that clean that up and make heartburn turn kind of the focal point?
Well, it definitely took the catastrophic wreck out of there and you know, at least one or two cautions. I mean, you saw that those – I don't know why we're calling them turtles, but the blues – they were damn speed bumps. The blue curbs were – had a lot of tires, you know, black marks on them and things like that halfway through the race, that if those tires would have still been there, would have been some massive carnage back there. I hit those, the blue ones once. And, you know, if you touched those blue ones before, you were clipping the tires and probably ruining your day. So, you know, I mean, you learn. Obviously, Marcus, everybody, the sport, this is something new. It went down pretty well. I think it was a lot of fun to be able to compete. Nerve-wracking as hell on our part, but nonetheless, it was a lot of fun challenge. The challenge of competing on that racetrack, that backstretch chicane, it's pretty fast. You know, and I think if there was an area that to fix the race, we could look at that doing something back there. But heartburn, that was a heartburn. Ended up being a heartburn on a lot of people's parts. I don't know about the 12, though. Speak my mind on that. I guess they just couldn't come up with where everybody was at when a caution come out, because I'm pretty positive he was over in a pile up when I went by him and look up and finally the caution come out, and then all of a sudden they put him in front of me. Then he won the race, lucky little turd. So that could have been me. So, can you protest? No, it was. He come a long ways. You know, he and I were racing for a position for most of the race. Alex Bowman did a good job. You know, those kids. Alex tore one up in the test. You know, he was a kid that I thought that I could beat for this thing, beat out of it. And then Blaney, you know, he tore a lot of stuff up here in practice and things like that, got those problems behind him and ended up winning. So, you know, it's neat to see those kids be able to rise to the occasion and did a damn good job, won the race.
All right, I believe we had another question. Peter?
Peter Strada, TSJ Sports. Clem, what was your view of the 78-48 incident on the last chicane?
Smoke and cars everywhere. Did you see what? And then I'm thinking, you go from, I think I'm in, to, oh, well, don't hit one of these guys. What are they going to do? I was thinking I was pretty much thinking you were thinking the same thing, weren't you? I can't remember who it was backed up against the wall, but if he'd have put that in gear, he'd have smoked both of us. I was like, oh, please don't pull out. The sun got you? How about the smoke? And then just the fact that it happened, eyes were pretty big.
Just because I contributed, you don't have to make fun of what I said, all right?
But we pretty much make fun of each other nonstop when we're around each other, and then he beat me, and I guess you did a good job.
All right, we've been joined by a few additional guests here. Driver of the number one DC Solar Chevrolet, Jamie McMurray, who finished second today, and then also Eric Almirola, driver of the number 10 Smithfield Ford, who was the final driver to advance into the round of 12 for playoffs. So we'll continue with questions with Clint, Jamie, and or Eric. So if you have one, please raise your hand, state your name and affiliation, and we'll get a mic to Bob.
Bob Pockris, ESPN. Eric, can you kind of go through the emotions for you the last couple of laps? You were...
Yeah, you're still here. Is he good? Clint really wants to leave.
Do we
His
have any additional questions for Clint?
Over.
I did make mention about that cold beer.
All right, Clint, you're good to go. Go ahead, Bob.
Eric, did you... knowing that you had to gain spots in that last lap, you know, what were your emotions like? And then when you see the 48 spun there... Are you like, oh my gosh, this could be my chance?
Yeah, so they told me, so we got caught up in that wreck getting into turn one. We were good right there. They told me I was good on points. And then Keselowski and Larson and all piled it in there, and the cars just came across the racetrack and blocked the track. I got stopped to keep from running into them, and the 43 car plowed into the back of me and drove me straight into the wreck. And I thought that was it. I thought that was the end of our day. And we were able to come down pit road and work on it and fix it. And our whole day was like that, man. The 24 blew a right front tire in the middle of oval 4. And I was behind him. And I was trying to go to the outside of him. And he kept coming up. And I smashed the wall and had to come in pit because we were going to blow a tire. We just battled adversity all day, and then that last restart, they told me I was minus 6 points and that I needed to go. And I rifled it down into turn one and wheel hopped and cleared a few of them out and got by, I think, three. And then we came back to the start-finish line. They told me I needed three more spots. And those last couple laps, I was able to get those three spots, and I had one more in my sights, and somebody spun off of the infield turn four. and it was just a cloud of smoke. I couldn't see where I was going, so I checked up because the last thing I needed to do was wreck. And almost got passed by the 19, and there was the car that I was getting ready to pass went through there wide open. I guess didn't have anything to lose, and I couldn't make up that ground. I couldn't get back to them. And so when we come back around, they told me I was tied, and it happened to be just good enough because of our finishes the last couple weeks at Vegas and Richmond. That was the tie break. And so I told Johnny Klossmeyer going in this weekend, all I really cared about was leaving here plus one. And turns out plus zero is good enough.
All right, we'll continue for questions. Jacob, we'll get a mic to Jacob, please.
Yeah.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport Magazine. Actually, since he just walked in, I can apply this for both Jamie and for Kyle. Both of you have run the Rolex 24 before. Both of you have won the Rolex 24 before. So what, if anything, could you take from that road course oval to this one today?
Nothing. Nothing really. I don't think anything. These are totally different race cars. Those are totally different cars than anything I've ever driven. So they have a lot better brakes, a lot better grip, traction control, everything. So even if we were to take a cup car onto the Daytona Roval, I mean, it wouldn't even compare, I don't think. So I don't know. It's just it's just a different deal.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing to me that this track reminded me of Daytona is, especially with the splitters, is that in the Rolex car, you could go really quick through the back bus stop if you used more curb, but every time you did, it would just destroy the splitter. And that was kind of the same way here today. You could get fairly aggressive, but as far everything else is just so much different. You know who you're racing with. In the Rolex race, half the guys you're around, you don't even know who's in the car. And it could be somebody different every time you catch the same car. So it's pretty, I mean, it's so much different.
Do we have any questions in the press box? All right, we'll come back down. Jeff, I believe you have a question.
Jeff Gluck from JeffGluck.com. For Kyle, I just saw the replay of how you did that. How close did you come to not being able to finish that race the way your car was driving?
I needed the 88 to not pass people, and it looked like he was creeping his way up the pylon there the last couple laps. So I knew I was in bad shape. I guess you can say giving up, but I couldn't even drive my car. It was so bad, destroyed. But then they said they're all crashing there, coming to the checkered. And I mean, I was over here getting on the oval, and they said they were starting to crash. So I ran hard. We had, I guess, so much camber and tow in our car that, you know, they said if I ran fast, it'd blow right front. But I was like, you know, you got to go. So I ran hard through whatever, one and two over there and through the bus stop, and then blew right front, center three and four, and plowed the wall. So, like, crap, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get down to make the chicane, but luckily it came down off the banking, and I could turn right okay. So I got through the 16th corner, and then 17, I hit the wall again on the front stretch, and the 96 was stalled the whole time. They kept telling, I think they told me the 96 was stalled, like, when I was at the back stretch over there, he wasn't able to get his car.
So you passing the 96 was the one point.
Yeah. And he was,
because,
like,
at first they told me I was one to the good because you were last car on the lead lap, but wow.
He was like 100 feet from the start finish line. And I could see him, like, start to get creeping, like, as I was getting to 16. I was like, gosh, don't go. And we were able to make it. So, hey, I was pretty lucky.
All right, I believe David had a question.
David Scott with Charlotte, Missouri. Eric, this turned out, you know, to be a wild card track in a cutoff race. Did you feel like you had less control, as it turned out, as you normally would with a Nova Oval?
Felt like I had less control all weekend from the first lap of practice when I wrecked. I just felt completely out of control, just really anxious and nervous about what the track and what adversity was going to be thrown at us. I knew that a 23-point gap was going to help, but I didn't think we were going to need all of it. My goodness. I was really anxious all week leading into it, and I'll be honest, I prayed a lot just for, you know, just hoping that everything would work out. I was so hopeful to get out of here just plus one. I mean, that's really all I cared about, and I kept telling myself to quit making mistakes like I did in practice. I wrecked my race car twice, and both times my guys had to work to fix it. And it was just one of those weekends. It was just wild and crazy and out of control, and I felt so helpless so many times throughout the weekend. And I just kept telling myself, survive, survive, force those guys to beat you. Like, don't beat yourself. Don't finish 38th because you're wrecked. Survive and see what happens. And if they beat me, they beat me, but don't beat myself. And then it seemed like every opportunity for something to go wrong, it did. Like, I was getting ready to pass the 24 because he was coming to pit, and he blew a right front, and I pounded the wall. So we had to come down pit road, fix the damage, and clear the tires out. And then the big wreck getting into turn one, I was going to miss that. Everything was going to be fine and got piled in and drove into it. And we had to fix that. So it just kept, it was like one thing after another, it just kept compounding, through the whole weekend. And, I'm just really grateful and really happy, to be in the position that I'm in. And, you know, I told Johnny and all the guys on my team, I'm so proud of them. I mean, this weekend, was one of those weekends where, you know, you have to dig in deep and keep battling. And that's what we did. We battled all day and all weekend, and we were able to get just enough. Yeah, it didn't even take plus one. Plus zero was good enough. I can't believe it.
All right. Any questions upstairs? All right. Any final questions downstairs? Okay. Peter.
Peter Strada, TSJ Sports for Eric. What's it mean to have all of Stewart Haas Racing advance onto the round of 12?
That's a really big deal. So, you know, going into the playoffs, we took a team photo at the shop with all four teams and everybody in front of the shop, because that was the first time in company history that they've had all four cars in the playoffs. So that was a really cool moment and a really cool, you know, for the team and the shop. Something to be proud of for all those, you know, people back at the shop. There's close to 400 employees at Stewart Haas Racing, and every single one of them plays an integral part to get all four of us to where we're at. And to have all four cars make the playoffs and then now have all four cars make it to the round of 12 is pretty special. Obviously, the goal is to have all four cars go to Homestead and battle for a championship, whether that happens or not. You know, we'll see. It would take a lot of things to happen right. But, you know, just really proud of everybody at the shop and everybody at Stewart Haas Racing, because that is a really big deal to have four out of the top 12 cars going to race for a championship.
All right. Any final questions? Jesus. All right. Thank you guys for coming in. We appreciate it. Best of luck next weekend.